Welcome everybody to Parshas Metzora 5771. I missed last week, which was Tazria, but I'm consoled because Tazria and Metzora are very much on the same topic, so I feel like I'm not really skipping an entire Parsha. We need to incorporate in some way the ideas of Pesach in our Parsha class. And we also must remember that we're learning basics this year. So, what is a basic message related to Parshas Metzora and Pesach? That's our task. I think there's a very strong one. Let's preface the topic of our Parsha, which really does need prefacing, because at face value, it is about Tzoras. Tzoras translated as leprosy, but we know it's not a medical condition, leprosy. It is a physical manifestation of a spiritual malaise. Mm-hmm. That's how Art Scroll puts it. It's something that we're not familiar with because we don't experience it in our times. I liken this Parsha to the Parsha of Vayikra and Tzav, which deals almost exclusively with korbanos, with offerings, which is also not in our experience, our Jewish experience. Do you recall that the comment that we had made last class about the korbanos is that the reason we do not experience korbanos, animal offerings, is because we are not living in a spiritual time. We are living in a time where we have lost the contact and the awareness with our spiritual dimension. Almost entirely. That doesn't mean we don't have a spirit. That doesn't mean we don't have a neshama. It's just that we have such little perception of it. The only way we can access it is through the intellect as it processes God's divine Torah, and then translates that into the action that the Torah teaches. But there is very little recognition of or perception of our spirit. And my thought was that is why because we're not living in this time of where the spirit is recognizable, that explains why there are no prophets, why God does not relate to us in a spiritual way through prophecy. That is why we do not struggle with Avodah Zarah, idolatry, which is really a spiritual service but directed to other channels, because we don't live in the spiritual dimension. And therefore, we thankfully don't struggle with this spiritual pitfall of Avodah Zarah. I believe that's in the same vein why we don't experience Tzoras. Let's just realize that Tzoras is something which was from a time and a place when there were korbanos, when there were prophets, when there was this higher dimension. So what that means is, if we can just mentally grasp the concept, what this means is, I'll just suggest the following. When we were living in the spiritual dimension, our spirit, our neshama, was kind of like king. And our body was secondary to the neshama. So, just like if a person's neshama is elevated and a person allows his neshama to have its way and to be spiritually and spiritual and holy and godlike, it would elevate our bodies, it would give us health, it would give us long life, as the Torah, originally people had long life, just as the spirit could give sustenance and vigor to the body. Well, when the spirit, which is supposed to be supreme, falls and is deficient, then it brings ailment to the body. And our spirits almost begin to take on, our ill spirits begin to take on physical manifestations. And not only is there tzaras of our body, as we're taught in this parsha, it can even start manifesting itself on our clothing, in our homes. Our whole environment begins to suffer because the spiritual side of man is deficient. So it's a whole different plane of existence, but this was the reality. This is Torah reality. Basics of Torah reality. Basics of Torah reality is that the physical reflects the spiritual. Nowadays, that's not true. Nowadays, the body is supreme. The body masks the spiritual. It virtually smothers it to pieces, so that a person barely knows that he's anything but a body, you know, with some feelings and with some intellect, but... So there's no way that the neshama is going to boss the body around, if you will. The body is squelching the neshama. So that would explain why we don't have things like tzaras. So to me, it all fits into this other level of existence, and we should not be surprised that we don't experience it. But let's take a look what we can glean. And what we can learn from this is a very important aspect, which is that what kinds of spiritual deficiencies are we taught would bring on tzaras. So a list is mentioned here on page 610. It's really from last week's parsha, but the sages teach that the affliction is a punishment for the sins of bloodshed, false oaths. This is in the footnote on the second column. Sexual immorality, pride, robbery, and selfishness. These are some sins that could bring about the manifestation of tzaras. But we kind of know that there's one sin that stands out as being the primary cause of tzaras. And this is so well known among any student of Torah, that it is lashon hara, that it is evil speech. And that what that says to me is that evil speech is one of the most, one of the greatest deficiencies that a Jew can have. It would do the most to blemish our souls to the extent that it starts manifesting itself on the body. That means to say that lashon hara is really one of the worst things that we can do. And most of us have heard the expression Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the study of Torah equals them all in terms of prominence among the positive commandments. The sages in the same vein say lashon hara keneged kulam. Lashon hara is equal to all of the sins. And not bloodshed, false oaths, sexual immorality, pride, robbery, and selfishness. These are not, don't have that distinction. It's lashon hara. So we have to contemplate this very, very deeply. What is it about lashon hara that is so devastating, that is so damaging and harmful, and brings about such impurity to the Jew? And whether or not we manifest the tzaras, we're still devastating ourselves when we speak lashon hara. So I want to contemplate that with you for a bit. And the same footnote says earlier, previous sentence, the primary cause of tzaras is the sin of slander. As the sages say, the word mitzora, which is indeed the name of our parsha, is a contraction of motzira, one who spreads slander. That's Talmud Arachin 15b. Motzira. He brings out the bad talk. He spreads rumors. He spreads slander. He maligns people. However, could it be that the word Motzira, you know, has an additional meaning as well? It's Motzi the Ra. It expresses the bad. It expresses the evil which is inside of us. We all have this evil inclination, right? That's how God made us. And in the world today, it's very, very strong. But if you kind of, you know, God gave us the ability to keep it inside, you know the expression, keep it to yourself. But once you decide to say what's inside, you've been motzi the ra in a way that maybe other sins don't do. A sin that's committed by the body may be kind of a physical reaction, a physical impulse. Speech takes intelligence. Speech takes an idea, something that only human beings can do. And it concretizes with verbs, with verbiage what it is that we possess inside. It is our essence. We are expressing what is inside. If we take that evil essence and we concretize it in the intelligence of speech, somehow the Torah is teaching us that we have committed the most devastating of transgressions, of sins, and the most debilitating of spiritual ill. Somehow that's what the prominence of Lashon Hara in the Torah says to me. And we're talking basics here. So what that really opens up to is the tremendous, tremendous power that we are given as human beings in our ability to speak and to express our thoughts. And this is not my own idea. This is one of the great themes of Musar, is Koach HaDibur, is the power of speech that God has given us. And I think this is our bridge to Pesach. Now, I'm going to tell you some very interesting things. What is the most outstanding mitzvah of Pesach, particularly Seder night?
To express, to assume that you were actually there with, you know, that you were there at the time we got our liberty.
All right. To personally put yourself into the experience of the Exodus from Egypt. That is in the Haggadah. It's a very major point of the Haggadah. But actually, the biblical source is V'higadata Lebincha. Yeah. You shall tell to your child on that day. V'higadata, you shall tell. The Haggadah is the telling. Hmm. That's what the word Haggadah means, telling. The famous line in the Haggadah, V'chol hamarbel is saper harei ze mishubach. Whoever talks more, the more you talk, the more praiseworthy. It illustrates the four rabbis in Bnei Brak that would stay up talking on Pesach night all night long until they had to be reminded that it was time to say the morning Shema. Talking is the order of the day. But now, here's something even more incredible. The word of the holiday, Pesach. Pesach, we say in Yiddish. Pesach means the mouth that speaks, our sages tell us, and in a mystical kind of way. Pesach, the mouth speaks. The essence of the day, the essence of the name of Pesach is speaking. What is it about speech? So here we have, on one hand, from the Parsha, that speech is the most devastating of sins. And here we have Pesach, which is a high point of the year, and the essence of the day is speaking. And what are we speaking? We're speaking for the most part, telling over the story of our slavery and our redemption. We're praising God for the miracles. We are giving thanks. We are teaching our children where we came from and what we're all about and what our destiny is. It is utilizing this powerful tool, this most powerful human tool called speech, for the greatest of purposes. And it you don't need to remind us that speech is such an important part of Jewish experience, more than deed, because what are we doing? What do we do every day? What are our, like, bread and butter? Davening, tefillah, and Torah study, these are all verbal activities. All verbal activities. The Art Scroll Introduction to the Siddur. This is just a larger one. But something I saw years ago. As a synonym for a human being, the Mishnah uses the name Maveh, an unfamiliar word that the Torah derives from the root ba'ah, to pray. In other words, the Talmud defines man as the creature that prays. What is one word for man? The prayer. The one who prays. We don't say the one who eats, or the one who builds, or the one who thinks. It's the one who prays. What is man but his soul? For his soul and intelligence are what makes him man, rather than simply a higher order of beast. And what is man's soul but his innermost longing, whatever matters to him most? As the sages pithily express it, a burglar prays for God's help as he prepares to enter the home of his victim. Everyone prays. Prayer is our expression of what's inside. Prayer, then, is not a list of requests. It is an introspective process, a clarifying, refining process of discovering what one is, what he should be, and how to achieve the transformation. It is a duty of the heart, not of the mouth. In other words, this idea that what speech is, it is the actualization of everything that we are inside. As long as we keep it to ourselves, we will not be held accountable for our evil thoughts. I mean, in some, there are certain transgressions that involve thought alone. Do not covet, for example. Do not hate your brother in your heart. But for the most part, if we have stuff and we keep it in, okay, that's to be expected. But once we decide to express it, not only are we making ourselves transparent, but we are actually giving reality and concretization to what it is inside of us. So that's why the power of speech is so central. It is who we are, but actualized, more than anything else. And so, do we think for a minute that now that we don't have tzaras, we don't have to worry because people won't know? People won't know what's going on inside of us because we're not getting those signs. You know, in the olden days, if you got tzaras, everybody would know. Now, nobody knows. That's not true. People hear us talking. We're just as transparent as we used to be. People talk. And whatever a person says, that's what he is. If a person goes around and speaks Lashon Hara, then that's what he is. He's a person who conjures and thinks about other people's faults and criticizes them, and he just harbors bad stuff. If you are someone who prays, then that's what's inside of you. You're somebody that thinks about God. You're someone that longs to connect with Him. You will pray because that's who you are. If you study, you are seeking knowledge of God. If you celebrate Pesach and you follow the commandment and you say, I want to share with my dear ones my story, then it shows that I identify as a Jew, as the history of the Jewish people, and I connect myself with the destiny of the Jewish people. We are what we say. But I just want to take it one step further, because according to what we're discovering, what we're realizing, speech is really at the core of everything that we do and everything that we are. Why is a holiday called Pesach? Why is there a holiday, a specific holiday, that's more associated with speaking than any other holiday? Why isn't Shavuos called Pesach or Sukkot? Or why isn't a Tuesday or a Monday called Pesach? If Pesach means the mouth speaks, what is so unique to this one holiday? And here is where I would like to bring in one other source, which I've also been sitting on for many, many years when I first read this. I may have shared it with you before, but The Art of Jewish Prayer by Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner, a wonderful sefer, came out probably 15 years ago or more. The author, unfortunately, passed away in an untimely manner. In fact, I met one of his sons on Purim. Mm. One of his sons. The rabbi passed away in his early 40s, but he left, I think, a family of 9 or 10 children. Mm. So, okay, let me share this with you. Redemption as a prelude to prayer. Before we say the Shemona Esrei in the morning prayer service, we say a sequence of prayers. These begin with the morning blessings and the verses of praise to God, Pesukei Dezimra. Following these, we say the Shema, a fundamental prayer that affirms our belief in one God and our acceptance of His commandments. Then, we speak about how God took us out of Egypt. This is referred to as our redemption, Geula. So right before the Shemona Esrei is Geula. We pray about redemption. It is significant that we discuss God's having redeemed us from Egypt immediately before we say the Amidah. The Zohar. Zohar is more mystical. It's part of the oral tradition, but it's not. It's on the level deeper, one level deeper than Talmud. The Zohar says that when the Jews were in exile in Egypt, their power of speech was also in exile. That's the words of the Zohar. Their koach hadibur was in exile. This means that the Jews could not express themselves while they were in Egypt because their spiritual sensitivities had become dulled. As long as this was the case, the Jews' ability to pray was hampered. When they were redeemed from Egypt, their power of speech was redeemed with them, and they were again able to pray. This is vividly seen by the fact that they sang the Song of the Sea to God shortly after their redemption. What an outbreak of spontaneous singing. It represents a liberation. To be able to sing, they had to be liberated. Because a human being who is closed, who is not in touch, who is not free, who is not aware of their spiritual identity, is not going to be able to express, at least express, thoughts of praise, of prayer. Maybe they will, all they can say is negative things. Maybe all they can do is complain. Maybe they just clam up. Maybe people that are under such stress and under such affliction can't even talk at all. You know, I'm not a clinician, but I would imagine that people that are under a lot of stress and suffering are silent. This is, our Zohar calls, exile. An inability to speak or inability to express thought is a form of exile. true redemption is the revelation of qualities that are hidden within a person. Prior to the Jews' redemption from Egypt, their deepest essences were hidden within themselves, and they had lost their ability to communicate their deepest feelings. When the Jews were freed from Egypt, they were once again enabled to express their deepest yearnings, longings, and emotions. It is for this reason that the primary commemorative event of the Exodus is the Passover Seder. The hallmark of the Seder is the recitation of the Haggadah, literally our recounting of the redemption of the Jews from Egypt. Passover, in this way, celebrates the redemption of the Jews' speech by using the faculty of verbal expression. Brilliant. The mitzvos of speaking that are inherent in Pesach are themselves the expression of our redemption. Because in Pesach we became redeemed, that means we became in touch with who we really are, that we are truly the spiritual people of God, and that we're not condemned to be this slave group in this valueless, immoral society. When we became aware of who we were and who God was and our relationship and our specialness to Him, we started to speak again. And what came out were words of praise, of prayers. That was who we really were. Pesach is the way we should talk. Pesach is that expression of Higada Talabincha. That's the real us. We have this tremendous gamut. The Motzi Ra on one hand, the one who what comes out is bad stuff, is bad talk, is negative talk, divisive talk. That's the human being gone sour. He begins to take on manifestations, physical manifestations of illness, because he's so decrepit inside. The opposite extreme is the Pesach expression, the expression of song and praise and recounting and spilling over. I can't stop talking. I'm just going to go on. I'll sleep tomorrow. I'm just going to go on and on and on and tell you, my child, who we were, where we came from. The Koach HaDibur, this is the tremendous power, and this is the gift that God gave us on Pesach. So I think it fits like a glove. It's basic. Let us realize that, and let's take this thought as well. Not only is speech expressive, not only does it express what's inside of us, but I think it also goes the other way around. We can impress upon ourselves by what we speak. No? If we want to make what's inside good, let's say good things. Just as if we have good things inside, we will express them. If we say good things, they will impress upon us and fill us with the goodness, or really uncover with the goodness that we have inside, because we all have it. We just have to talk about it. So that is why we're constantly praying, even if we might not feel it. You know, you might get the feeling, well, I feel a little bit hypocritical because I don't feel that my prayers are truly expressing what I feel inside. I'm just reading them because somebody wrote them and said, here's the script, you know, but I feel a little bit two-faced. Not at all. These prayers are the prayers of the Jew who's in touch with himself. Say them. If you say them, they will connect with that deep, exiled longing and feeling that you really have inside. If you say nice things about people, even if you might not feel them, you will come to see the goodness in them. So let's not just think of speech as something which is a perforce, an expression of what we have. Let's use speech as an impressioning, as a tool of impression. And it can change who we are. I guess the highest level of this is what we call shmiras halashon, watch or guard our speech. Years ago, we read Rav Yerucham said on this week's parsha. He said that the leper, the Betzora, has to bring birds because what made him, what brought him to this point, is that he constantly chirps like a bird. And Rav Yerucham said that really the highest level is not so much say good things, don't say bad things, but don't chirp. Think about what you want to say before you say it. If speech is truly our greatest weapon and our greatest tool, you know, just like it's powerful, but it's also volatile. Make sure we aim first before we pull the trigger. Shmiras halashon. Think about what you say. Rav Yerucham says that a word should be like a rock. You know, to move a rock from one place to another, you have to bend down, you have to lift it up, exert yourself to move it. A word should be like a rock in a certain sense. We should think about it. It's powerful. We can express the greatest feelings and yearnings to connect with God, to build other people up. We can also do so much damage. So, Koach HaDibur, the basic message is we are given Koach HaDibur, the power of speech. It is what makes us human, and it both expresses the deepest, most essence of who we are, and it also is a great tool to impress upon us. And Pesach is that holiday which was given to us to celebrate and to use our Koach HaDibur in the greatest way. Shkalach. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.